It is great to see each of you out today, and we're excited for the 2019 Family Huddle. We really hated back on January the 20th to have to push it out a couple weeks. Lisa and I were out of town last week. I got to speak at a church just north of Philadelphia, PA, had a great event there. Appreciate all the prayers and support for us heading that way. But we're excited today. This is not, for those who may be visiting, this is not typically what a Sunday morning message looks like. This is definitely a little bit different. But if you're visiting with us today, we think this is a perfect time for you to be here, because you're going to get to learn a little bit about the Hillview story and where we've kind of come from over the past 3 years. You're going to see some things that we're currently doing now. And then we're going to take an opportunity to dream for the future. And we're going to just share some vision that we've been praying about and we want to share to you. This is just a time for us to be transparent as a leadership team here with each of you. So while it may not be a traditional message per se, we definitely will be doing some teaching through this with Scripture. A couple little business things we want to talk through. But all in all, this is a time to rejoice and celebrate, church, what God is doing here at Hillview. Amen? God is doing some amazing things, and we're excited for each one of you to be here today. So I'm going to pray, and then we are going to turn it over to Mark Love. Father God, we just thank you so much for this opportunity to be here today. And Father God, we thank you for the opportunity to just worship together in spirit and truth. We truly believe we are a gospel-centered family who loves God and loves others. And so today, Lord, I just pray that as we look at the past, we learn about the present, and we dream for the future. God, what's been ringing in my heart is that we would truly have God-sized dreams, things that only you could accomplish, things that only the Holy Spirit can accomplish through us as we just simply rely upon you. It's been so great, Father God, to see all that you have done through Hillview, not just in the past 3 years, but in the past 20-some years. We're just thankful for each and every one that's come out today, and we pray that you would be honored by what's said and done today. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Hillview Christian Church was built by a congregation of people who love the Lord. And many of you are here today. Thank you so much. Hillview has influenced the world for Christ through many people and in a multitude of ways. Several men and women in missions and ministry throughout this country and the world had their beginnings here or were supported by this church. You know, Satan is never happy when he sees the church that's successful. And he'll cause problems wherever he sees an opportunity. And after many struggles, successes, and victories, Hillview found itself in one of those down periods, and that is where our story begins. A little over 3 years ago, Hillview Christian Church was a difficult place to find joy in being an elder. We were without a lead minister. Discontentment ruled the day. Morale was very low. And the financial outlook, frankly, wasn't much better. The bills were getting paid, but only as they became past due. I'm sure Satan rejoiced as he observed the declining influence of another church. But our story doesn't end there. The elders at that time were Larry Smith, Johnny Baker, and myself, Mark Love, and today we're joined by Tom McKissick as well. We agreed, that the most important thing, above all, was to stand firmly on the Word of God, that we would teach and preach the Bible in its entirety, that we would hold fast to the doctrines that were taught by the apostles of Jesus Christ, just as they did in Acts 2:42, which says they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Jude 3 says to contend earnestly for the faith, which once for all was handed down to the saints. The elders agreed that we must adhere to this biblical mandate, whatever the outcome. We still hold to that this very day, and promise to teach the Word of God as accurately as we understand it. A written budget had earlier been established, and as is the case with any successful budget, it requires active oversight and adjustments as conditions change. A team of knowledgeable individuals advise the elders and the lead minister in the budget-making process. And on behalf of all the leadership team, I want to thank Doug Pearson, Carrie Rahman, Ron Lyon, and Dave Key for their efforts and support. Now back to our story. Due to the financial conditions in the church in 2015, all of the paid ministry staff positions were reduced to part-time pay. A minister search was begun in late 2015, and a team made up of, I believe it was seven couples with varied interests and needs, made up from couples in the congregation, was led by Johnny Baker. And in April of 2016, Paul Wallerzak was hired as lead minister of Hillview Christian Church. Our desire was for a full-time minister, but at that time we could only offer a part-time salary. And that seemed a good fit for Hillview as well as for Paul. The goal was to transition Paul into a full-time position within a reasonable time frame of about 3 years or so. But as so often happens, some unforeseen events soon changed the best laid plans. Paul, you want to tell us a little bit about that?
For me to get to Hillview and for my family, and Lisa and I started back in February of 2015. In February of 2015, I was speaking at a church just north of Philadelphia, the same church that I spoke at this past weekend. And Lisa and I went out there to do a wild game dinner, and they invited me to come and be their keynote speaker. And at that time, there was a verse of Scripture, or passage of Scripture, that was just resounding in Lisa and I's heart. We had it posted all over our house. We were committing it to memory. And in Revelation chapter 3, it says that God opens doors that no man can shut, and he shuts doors that no man can open. Before you is an open door. And we just started praying for that. We were asking God to show us what he wanted us to do, where he wanted us to be in ministry. And so in February of 2015, we're at this church. We do a game dinner. And that night, the staff said, "Can we just pray over you guys? We would like to do that." And so Pastor Bruce, they have a Bruce as well, and they do the same thing up there. They all holler, "Bruce, Bruce," just like we do here for our Bruce. And so Pastor Bruce and his wife and some other folks, they were there. And right in front of the stage, we began to pray. Everybody had left after the event. And Pastor Bruce says this in his prayer: "God, we believe that you open doors that no man can shut, and you shut doors that no man can open. And we believe that before Paul and Lisa is an open door." Well, Lisa has a big ugly cry at that point. I mean, we're talking ugly cry, shaking, and I'm explaining to them, you know, why she's crying. We're driving back to the airport the next day, and Lisa says, "Paul, it's time for you to pastor a church again." And if you kind of knew our story and what we had come out of, that was a sentence that I never thought I'd hear my wife say again. And she said, "It's time. And I'm behind you 100%. And so I said, "Well, we're going to do things different this time. I'm not going to get on the internet, not going to look for who's hiring, not going to talk to other pastors and see what opportunities are out there." I said, "You, me, and the Lord know about this, and we're just going to pray." And that's what we began to do. We began to pray. In December of 2015, I began to get a few emails from folks saying, "Did you know that there's a pastor position open at Hillview?" And I didn't know that at the time. And then one Saturday morning, it was after 12 o'clock in the afternoon, I was still in my pajamas. We were having a very lazy day. My hair was still sticking up. I hadn't taken a shower or anything, got ready yet. A knock comes at the door. I love to hear knocks. The knock comes at the door, and Kevin Broughton was on the other side of it. He said, "Paul, did you know that Hillview is looking for a pastor?" I said, "I've gotten a few emails, so yeah, I knew that." And he goes, "Well, I'm here officially asking you to put your resume in. Your name just keeps coming up. Just put your resume in and let's see what God has for you." And so we did. And a few months later, it all worked out for us to come to Hillview. And I'm so thankful that God opened this door for us to be here to worship with you all. during that period of time, as well as we were going through the interview process and just learning more about Hillview and worshiping with you and learning more about you and the needs of the church, God began to bring a gentleman to my mind, someone who I had known, who we had both come out of some tough situations back in 2010. And in that year, we were standing in front of the deli counter at Walmart talking about some of those challenges. And I thought to myself, and I shared it with Lisa, I said, if there's ever an opportunity for Bruce Hawkins to come to Hillview, I sure would like to see him be a part of this team. And from that point, I'm going to let Bruce tell his story of how he got here.
So as Paul said in 2010, Paul and I knew each other just very briefly. I mean, we had done some events together, but we didn't know each other very well. And so I really honestly don't know why we confided in each other outside the deli at Walmart in Corydon. In the beginning part of 2010, we were both getting ready to leave jobs that we had where we had been ministers for a long time. And I had been a pastor, actually a preaching minister, for 19 years at that point. But we were getting ready to leave, and so we began to talk. And so after I left my last ministry, my last Sunday was August 15, 2010. The next weekend, we were at First Capital Christian Church on the 22nd. And that was the first time in our married life that we had been at a church where I wasn't there other than on vacation, wasn't there in a non-paid position. And so over the next year, thankfully, the senior minister that was at and that is still at First Capital, he was a professor of ours back in the late 80s, and he did not let me sit on the sidelines. He began, he knew I was hurting, really did not want to do ministry at the time, but he slowly brought me in and got me involved in ministry. And so over the next probably 5 years, I went from not wanting a pastorate at all, to getting interested in it. And I had an internship at a church for a year. They wanted to hire me on, but it just did not seem the right fit. And so in the spring of 2016, I was contacted by another church. And what was interesting to me is I had been looking and looking and looking. And I wanted another church. I knew that's where I needed to be. And I'd been looking, but every time I looked, it wasn't the right fit. And so just about the time that I stopped looking and I resolved myself to the fact that I wasn't going to have another church as a minister, I got a call in spring of 2016. That did not seem to be the right fit at the time. And then Hillview called. And in all honesty, when I met with the guys, and I've told these guys this, that night that I came here for an interview, that was the easiest interview I've ever been in because I didn't want the job. One of the things that I learned that was really good for me in that 6 years is, like I said, in 2010, I had been a paid staff for 19 years. But one of the things that I learned from 2010 to 2016 is I knew my calling was sure. And this is how I knew that, because I came to the resolution that if God calls you to do something, you do it whether you get paid to do it or not. And so I was fortunate at First Capital to get an opportunity to be an elder there, to be able to preach there, to be able to teach there. And so that first interview that I had here, I didn't want the job. I was just kind of being nice. And so it was easy because I didn't feel like I was on the hot seat at all. And at the end of that night, I thought, man, this kind of sounds pretty neat. And then Johnny was not able to be at that meeting, and we had another sit-down with the elders. Darren was involved in that one. You were at that one as well. And when I left that meeting that night, I thought, man, I really want to be a part of what God's doing at Hillview. And I got the bug again to serve in a paid position. And so had an opportunity a few weeks after that. Paul was going to be on vacation. I got a chance to preach here. Later that afternoon, I got a call from Paul that the elders had talked, and I was offered the job. and I started the first week in June of 2016.
And as Mark said, you know, sometimes we have our best laid plans. I got a scripture here for you, and Proverbs 16:9, it says this: a man's heart plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. And so we have our plans, but we lean upon God for his plans. So you heard Mark say, you know, the idea was for me to do part-time here, to continue flying, and then hopefully within 3 years the church would be healthy and we'd be able to go to a full-time salary. Well, 6 weeks after I got here, I lost my medical because of Lyme's disease. And so within 6 weeks of coming here on staff, I lose my medical. I'm unable to fly. I go on short-term disability at Master Brand Cabinets, where I was a corporate pilot for a little over 18 years. I go on short-term disability. At the end of 6 months, I'm still not healthy enough to fly. Long-term disability is now not available to me, and so I resigned. But literally within 6 weeks of coming here, God shut one door, opened the other door, and we've been able to give full-time hours here, day in and day out, as we serve you guys. We have our plans, but God has his, and I'm thankful that his plans are so much better than mine.
John Phipps joined our staff later in June as our praise worship media minister, and Robin Stiers joined us in May as secretary office manager, and both of these positions are part-time. So for nearly 3 years now, this ministry team has been in the trenches, working full-time, visiting, counseling, comforting, consoling, teaching, preaching, reaching out to those in need, praying continually that God will use them to bless others for the good of the people and for the glory of the Lord. When the elders remind them that they're paid part-time, that they are paid for part-time service, their answer, either one of them, is always a resounding, "Mark, there is no part-time ministry." Folks, I can say with certainty that every member of this leadership team is dedicated to the work of the Lord in this community or wherever they can serve. They love the Lord and they love you. Let's talk a little bit about the successes at Hillview. First, I want to put in a plug for written budgets. Imagine that. They work. They work in churches, they work in business, and they will work in your personal finances as well. In the fall of 2014, the mortgage for Hillview was refinanced to secure funding to replace the two HVAC units that serve this main area and to repave the parking lot and the entrance driveway. The driveway was repaved, but due to the late season, the remainder of the paving was postponed until the following spring. I reported this to the congregation in a presentation at that time. However, due to the extremely cold weather and the high heating bills, coupled with reduced income, those funds were by necessity used to pay operating costs that could not be ignored. Early in 2015, I addressed the congregation with this change in financial status as well. Well, since that time, due to diligent adherence to a written budget and an overall healthy church, I can now happily report that while meeting all normal operating expenses and maintaining a 10% emergency fund, a $43,000 project to repave a major portion of our parking lot and sealing of the entrance driveway is planned for the spring of 2019, this year. Because the church is healthy, we can finally honor the commitment that was made in 2014. This decision required a lot of prayer and discussion. It was not an easy decision to make. We wrestled with it quite a bit. But the leadership team considers it necessary to maintain the integrity of the physical asset that you all have worked so hard for. Well, let's talk about a little bit of the exciting stuff. James 1:27 tells us that pure religion is caring for widows and orphans in their time of need. Larry Smith is always reminding us of the need to reach out to the least of these, as referred to in Matthew chapter 25. And C.S. Lewis, in his book, Mere Christianity, He mentions that a vague religion all about feeling God out in nature and so on. Man, that is so attractive. It's all thrills and no work. But he quickly assures us that that is an unrealistic expectation. Effective ministry takes some real effort, and it takes some real hard work. Listen as Paul and Bruce tell us about what's been going on.
One of the things we try to do, and we use this language often, there's many ways to measure a healthy church. Okay, it's not just finances, it's not just attendance, it's not just ministry and what you do. There's so many ways to measure the health of a church. And so we just took a few here that we could try to share with you and kind of show how things have been going. On the next slide, the first thing we want to look at is attendance. So here's the numbers. Here's just some data for you to see how the health of the church has been measured via attendance. You can see in 2015, the average attendance ended up being 176. When we looked at towards the end of the year, that's when some of these definite tough challenges were happening, and the attendance was pretty low towards the end of 2015. The highest attendance in 2015 was 243. 2016, we bumped up to 190 average. High attendance of 265. 2017, we're at 189 with a high attendance of 274. And this past year, we were averaging 198 with a high attendance of 272. And we went six or seven straight weeks with attendance over 200 this past year. And today, Otis whispered in my ear, 202.
203.
Okay, so 203. And so that's one measure. We can see that the health as far as attendance has definitely come back up. And we attribute that to you guys being excited as well about what's going on here at Hillview and inviting. The other piece is finances. And you just got a great update from Mark of how the financial situation is doing. But on the next slide, you'll see that as a congregation, we had set the budget last year at $6,100 per week. You guys hit it this year. Giving this year ended up hitting the average, and I think the total number was 6116 was our average. So we hit budget this year. Hillview Christian Church achieved a 10% in giving to missions and outreach, as well as taking up special love offerings throughout the year. And so we are doing what God is asking us to give faithfully, not just for our own needs, but to reach out into our communities and to make a difference both locally and abroad. Baptisms. That's another way we can measure. How are people growing spiritually? Are we being Great Commission-minded? Are we leading people to Jesus, and are they seeing change? In 2016, there was 6 baptisms with 9 transfers of membership. That is in 2016 is when we started to use the language of, we do have a membership process here, but it's not a burdensome, cumbersome process. It just involves a conversation with one of the pastors or one of the elders. We want to know that you have given your life to Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that you're an immersed believer, and we'll take your confession of faith before the congregation, and that is how you join as a member of Hillview Christian Church. Not a burdensome process, but one in which we would like to have conversations about. So we saw 9 transfers that year. In 2017, we did 8 baptisms with 9 transfers. 2018, we did 11 baptisms this past year with only 1 transfer. And then one of the things that really has started to take off is jail ministry. And we were a part of 40 baptisms in jail ministry. I remember one particular Saturday, I walked out of the jail soaking wet because we did over 20 baptisms that day. It was so, so awesome as people were giving their life to the Lord. When we think about how we do ministry and the filter of which we do it, Acts 1:8 says this, "You shall receive power." This is Jesus speaking. He says, "You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and all Judea, Samaria, and to the end of the earth." When you look at the language that Jesus was using here, he starts very small with a small circle of influence. It's the Jerusalem. Then he went out further to Judea, then out further to Samaria, and then ultimately to the uttermost parts. And that's how we look at things here. We have both things we do locally here in our community. We stretch out a little further. There's things we do within the borders of the U.S. And then there are some things that we actually do abroad as well. And so when we think about measuring health, that's another way to measure health. Are you doing things locally and abroad? And so here's some things to celebrate. On the, it's a small list because there are so many things. Yeah, if you could read it. I mean, there are so many things going on here at Hillview right now. There's no way we could talk about all of these things in the time we've got listed. And we don't even have all the things on the screen here. But here are some of the things. Two of the things that I'd like to talk about first was back in 2015, in 2016, as I was going through the interview process here, right over here in room 4 and 5, I had met with the search committee, Lisa and I did, and imagine sitting there, Lisa and I up front, you got several couples, and they're firing questions at you and asking you different things. And one of the things they asked about, well, Paul, what would be your vision? What would be ministries that you would want to start? And I began to share with them my heart for jail ministry and prison ministry. I'd shared with them that I'm part of the REC community and been doing that since 2004, and that we would really like to hopefully have REC and jail ministries here in Crawford County. And really the picture was this. I would like to see if the Lord would allow that Hillview would be very active at the Crawford County Jail. It's just a few miles down the road. And we would want Hillview to become a natural bridge for the people who are coming out, and they need a place to land. They need people that they can confide in and who can pour into them and point them to Jesus and give them the tools that they need. That was one of the things that we prayed about. The other thing was addiction recovery and transitional type ministry for people who are battling various addictions. And Bruce uses this language. You can't go through the Bible without grabbing a stick and hitting a dysfunctional family at some point as you read through Scripture. We're no different today. There's hardly not a family in this room that has not been touched by addiction in some way, shape, or form. So we want to be a part of that. I'm very thankful for Peggy McKissick and a lady by the name of Jill who do Al-Anon here. We have a line item in our budget this year to start helping the Grace House financially. We are so thankful for what they are doing in a transition home that's here in Crawford County. The other thing they asked me about that when I was in the search committee meeting was I told them I was passionate about men's ministry. Kind of here's how I feel about men's ministry. I heard a Muslim cleric put it this way, a former Muslim cleric who is now a believer in Jesus Christ and he's given his life to Jesus. He said this, in the U.S. culture, when you look at church budgets, the most money is spent, if you look at line items, most money is spent to the children's ministry and to women's ministry. Those are the two fundamental places where most of the funds will go to. He said in the Muslim faith, they do it different. Their highest line item is men's ministry because they believe if they get the man, eventually they'll win the family. Men's ministry is important to us. And we're going to share a few more things here in a little bit about ways in which we want to strengthen our men's ministry. But the reality is, men, we're called to lead our families. We are called to spearhead leading our families. We are called to lay the foundation that John was talking about. No other foundation can be laid except that which is laid in Christ Jesus. And we're called to do that, men, to our families. So men's ministry is hugely important to us.
So Paul and I were looking through this list, and we are mentioning a few things, and none are more important than others. They're all a part of the puzzle to minister to the church. But just a couple that I picked out that are really special to me. I love our Wednesday night Bible study time. Just the fact it's a smaller group. On Sunday mornings, we have lots of things that we need to do. We've got lots of things in our heads, trying to make sure all the T's are crossed and the I's are dotted. And a lot of times we can't give time to conversations that we would like. And in all honesty, there's a lot of weeks where at the end of the, when I go home, I'll say to my wife, and I didn't see so-and-so, and she's like, yeah, they came through my door. We don't get some of those personal touches. But on Wednesday night, we're able to sit down, and it's more informal. We're able to get to know each other, and there is just a wealth of wisdom around the table as we study God's Word together, and for that I'm very thankful. Our prayer pillow ministry that Sylvia and Donna and so many others have been a part of, my heart is more of a pastor's heart than a preacher's heart, and it brings me a lot of joy to go to a place, to go to a hospital or nursing home. And when I go in, not necessarily me taking it, but one of them has already been there and taking that. And I see the ministry that's taking place. And so many people have testified that before a big surgery, that pillow brought them an incredible amount of comfort. I saw Don Jones yesterday in the nursing, in the rehab center, and Don had that underneath his arm. Those are meaningful things. They're tangible things that remind people that there's a group of people that love them and care about them and are praying for them. And then the other one, senior meals. Not only do we feed 180 meals, but I'll tell you what, if you want to have a good time, come here on the Friday and Saturday before that. And there's a group of people here that just have an absolute blast laughing together, serving together, and the stories that they have of not only delivering those meals, but prayers that they're able to pray with people as they take those out. Huge blessing. And there's a bunch more up there.
One last one I just want to hit on, and you got to hear from him today, is our youth pastor, Darren Stroud. I see the result of his work every day in my house. It's Lisa and I's job to train up our children in the way they should go. But I want to tell you, Darren, I interviewed Darren for our film that we're working on for the White Mountain, and one of the things Darren said in the interview was, he said, what a lot of people consider the messy years with youth, he considers as prime opportunities to pour into them. And he does. And I see the fruit of that, the fruit of his teaching, the fruit of pointing the kids to Jesus and to the Word, to help them be able to explain why they believe what they believe, to have a great time with them, to have a lot of fun, but to keep the most important things first is something I'm very proud of here in what Darren does with our youth. On the next slide, there's some things that we do abroad. One of the things that God has opened the door for Hillview to do is ministry on our Native American reservations. And so there's two that we're involved in, Diamond Willow as well as the White Mountain. I mentioned abroad, that would be preaching Christ to the multitudes with Eddie Bazin down in Haiti. And then Kaylin Bays is in China now. And so we're excited for Kaylin and the ability to support her. Pete and Kim from the White Mountain Apache Reservation, they will be here March 3rd. So mark that on your calendars. They will be here on March 3rd. They're going to spend some time with us in the morning service. They're going to be here hopefully for the evening meeting that we're going to have with the mission team, and they're going to pour into our missions group here. But then that night, my hope and my prayer is we'll be releasing the movie White Mountain Rising on March the 3rd, and we're going to do a movie night here, and we're going to show it to you guys first. So we're excited about that.
Can we see the next slide?
So, gospel-centered family, loving God, loving others. Here's some of our vision. Men, we want to keep meeting with you. Last year, we did not hit quarterly men's breakfasts every time. Every quarter, we are going to hit a men's breakfast. The next one's coming up. We just mentioned it, February the 16th. This is a great time to get together for fellowship, for a good meal, but to also have a Bible study. We are going to be committed to quarterly 4 to 6 week Bible studies. We're right in the middle of 1 Peter right now. So today at 4 o'clock, we'd invite you to come back. Our ladies are doing an awesome job right now in women's ministry. I'm so thankful for all the ladies who have been helping lead the various Bible studies that have either met on Tuesday or Thursday nights. We've got this upcoming women's conference, and we're so excited about that. A vision that we have for second hour, something that we're going to be fleshing out maybe with the elders here in the near future, but second hour, we don't really have other than one class, and Richard Key does an awesome job leading that Sunday school class for the adults. But if you're not in that class and you want something to do on second hour, one of the things we've been talking about possibly doing is having second hour prayer groups where you could meet for 15 to 20 minutes as a group and have a very structured time of prayer together. Bruce, you've got the next slide with family.
Okay, so some of these things are things that we are already doing. We're going to continue with our fifth Sunday pitch-ins. One of the things we are going to be mindful of, and we've talked with Darren and John both, because this is in their sphere of influence too, is integrating more youth into our fifth Sunday family services. We're looking at doing 3 to 4 family fun nights throughout the year, those would be opportunities not only for Hillview people, but for us to invite friends to come out to those things and just other family-oriented events.
Mark Love mentioned Bible-based preaching and teaching. We want people to know where we get this. We're not making this stuff up. We read it in God's Word. We're going to continue at all levels with Bible-based preaching and teaching. I have a very close friend that pastors a church in Alabama, and right now his church is going through a 30-day New Testament challenge. They're committing to reading through the New Testament in 30 days together as a church. We may do that this year as well. And some of the stories that are coming from that, as the church reads this together, all on a structured plan, and everybody's reading the same thing every day, some of the stories we're hearing come from that, from my friend Tim in Alabama, is pretty amazing. As far as loving others, we want to continue to strengthen our jail ministry and the presence of Hillview at the jail, as well as the other churches. We've got several other churches and organizations in our community that are working with the jail ministry. We want this to be a place where somebody can come and not feel condemned and not feel ashamed because they've been incarcerated. We want them to come here and to be able to worship and to get pointed to Jesus and to feel like they are a part of a gospel-centered family. Something that Lisa and I were a part of years ago is what I just simply termed Meal Train Ministry. There's actually a website now called mealtrain.com. It's a free service. You know, we have young families in the church that when they have a baby, it would be great to provide that family when they get home a week of meals. We come from a church that did that. We obviously, with eight kids, we were blessed with that many, many times over. But not just that. When there's surgeries or extended periods of time, maybe somebody's out of work or whatever it is, we are praying that maybe a couple ladies would step up and can also work with Robin, who would keep a master schedule of a meal ministry here where we could bless families who are maybe having a tough time, and we could just be a blessing to them. We want to continue with our web outreach and social media presence. Commodity Food Box Program. In Crawford County, there's a food box program that happens the third Wednesday of every other month. So the next one coming up would be the third Wednesday in March. And basically, they are in need right now of a team of people to go up to the 4-H grounds and to pick up the boxes and to bring them down to Marengo to the assisted living home there to deliver the boxes out to the residents there. The residents are familiar with how the program works. They're going to help you. They're going to disseminate the boxes out to the people who need them. Sign a form off, and you take it back to the 4-H, and you're done. It's about a 3 to maybe 4-hour commitment every other month. On a Wednesday, we would like to be a part of that program. We have specifically been called and asked to be a part of that program because they're having a hard time getting that covered. Mission trips, we're going to continue to do those. And lastly, a shoebox ministry. How many have heard of Operation Christmas Child? Operation Christmas Child is awesome. We want to do Operation Christmas Child for the two reservations we support. We're going to do our own Operation Christmas Child. So if you are at all interested in maybe heading that up to where we could get 75 to 80 boxes sent to these two reservations for kids to open on Christmas morning, we would love to see that happen. Those are just a few things that we're praying for and some of the exciting stuff that's been going on here at Hillview.
Now I'd like to take this time to present the 2019 budget for Hillview Christian Church. And if you'll look in your handouts, you'll find you have a copy of it, and it's also up on the screen if you can see it. This budget is based on a $6,100 per week income average for a total for the year of $317,200 of income. And that's broken down into $24,450 to ministries, $31,700 to missions and outreach, $14,570 insurance and taxes, $7,625 to office expenses, $149,250 for personnel, $81,649 to building and maintenance. Okay, we've talked about successes. We've looked at vision for the future. Now let's examine some serious questions that the elders have been considering. Question number one. Can this level of involvement that you've just heard Bruce and Paul touch on, Can that be sustained? The answer is yes, but only if our ministers continue to devote the amount of time that they presently do. Well, that brings us to question number two. Can our ministers continue to devote this amount of time and still support their families with part-time pay? Frankly, folks, that answer is no. 1 Timothy 5:18 says, "You shall not muzzle the ox while he is threshing, and the laborer is worthy of his wages." 1 Corinthians 9:14 tells us, "Also the Lord directed those who proclaim the gospel to get their living from the gospel." Paul, you want to add anything?
Yeah, he puts it on me. Just kidding. Now, for a pastor, when we talk about finances and giving and do series on stewardship, it can be a very awkward thing sometimes, but we believe this is the whole counsel of God's word when we think about stewardship and giving. The reality of what is up there on question number two, can our ministers continue to devote this amount of time? And it's not just Bruce or I, we're talking Darren, John, etc. If we're giving full time, can we continue to do this level of ministry at part-time pay? And the answer is no. I've been blessed with the ability to do media work on the side. And so for 2017 and half of 2018, in addition to the hours that I put in here, I was blessed to work for an outdoor group. I produced all their hunting videos, did a lot of filming for them, spent a lot of time in tree stands, etc. Things I love to do, but it is work. And so in addition to the time we were spending here, I was spending another 20 to 30 hours a week doing that to help offset loss of income over the past 3 years. In 2018, in April of 2018, my big account that I had went away. And so since April of 2018, we've been able to pick up a couple small accounts on media work. But the reality is it's not enough. It's not enough to keep us going with full-time hours here at part-time pay. This is a conversation we had a lot of prayer about, whether to actually have this conversation with our congregation or not. We want to be really transparent with each of you. Because the one thing we didn't want to have happen, which is a very real reality, if some things don't change, by April, I'm going to need to pick up 15 or 20 hours of work somewhere. And we didn't want to just throw that out when it happened in April without giving you as a congregation an opportunity to possibly respond. I'm not the only one in that situation. Darren came to us, and I have liberty to share this. Darren said I could. Darren came to us in December and said, "Look, guys, it's just tough. I'm struggling." Darren works other jobs besides here. And he said, "I'm just having a tough time, and I'm looking at full-time employment elsewhere." And he said, "There's no talk of leaving," so he wanted us to understand that, and that is not on the radar for any of us. We love Hillview. We're going to be here. But he said, I'm going to need to pick up more hours somewhere else. And so we began to pray. We began to ask Darren some questions to understand where he was at. And we huddled up back with the elders, Bruce and I did, and we shared this with them. And here's the bottom line. That was going to be too big of a hit to Hillview for him to do that. So back in December, we made an adjustment for Darren. Still doesn't get him to full-time pay, but it's helping him. And we committed to that through 2019. We didn't go any further than that because we didn't feel we could do that unless we saw some changes in income. But we made that change for Darren because we knew that that would be too big of a hit. With the amount of ministry that Darren is doing, the amount of impact he is making in the lives of our young people, that was going to be too big of a hit for Darren to go put in more hours somewhere else and to basically become a teacher on Wednesday nights and Sundays here. Way too big of a hit for Hillview. I'm in that same position kind of at this point, and we're just sharing this as an opportunity for you to pray about what you're hearing. And so the answer is no, we cannot keep this level of ministry going on part-time pay, and as in most cases with churches of our size, no benefits. Part-time pay, no benefits. And so we've got to come up with those some way, And so Lisa and I have been praying. We are 100% happy to be here. We're thankful to be one of your pastors. Nothing is going to change with that. All we're saying is if some things don't change income-wise, it's going to reduce some of the amount of time we could give to some of these vision casting things that we've been talking about over the past few minutes.
So,
it works.
Had me turned down. Not sure if I need it or not. So question number three, then what is the solution? Well, answer A is increase the lead minister salary to full-time status. That would be Paul. B, Bruce and Darren would receive increases as well, although still considered part-time employees. And C, John and Robin would continue to be compensated at their present rates with basic cost of living and merit increases as deemed appropriate. So, that leads us, of course, to question number four. What would this look like? And the answer is a proposed budget assuming a weekly income average of $6,585.50 for the 2019 year. That would be an annual budget of $342,446. Giving would need to average $6,585.50 for the entire year that began on January 1. If that income goal is met and the trend appears to be stable throughout the first quarter of 2019, and this is verified by the elders, then the raises would be implemented on the higher anniversary dates, which begin in April of this year. At this time, our secretary, Robin, has verified 70 giving units for the church. And on that, I'll just want to make a note here. We've said it before, but for some that may not know, the only person besides yourself at Hillview that knows what you give is our secretary, Robin. No one on the leadership staff has any idea of what anyone gives at any time, with the exception of Robin, and that's so you can get a tax statement or a giving statement, year-end giving statement for taxes, which, as Bruce mentioned earlier, I'll have those for you after the service if you want those. So just wanted to remind everyone of that. It's not like we're up here looking at what anyone gives. No one knows with the exception of our secretary. And she won't share that with us. So, in practical terms, what would this look like for each of those 70 examples? Graphic, please.
Go over to the one, should be another slide there, one more.
Looks pretty good, huh? Giving would need to increase $6.93 per family or per giving unit per week if everyone gave the same amount. This is approximately the cost of a McDonald's Quarter Pounder value meal. Now, we realize this is not ideal math, okay? We understand that giving is not equally divided among all the members or attenders. And we're sensitive to the fact that this would not impact all family budgets in the same way. However, we're forced to work with averages to determine these scenarios. And we do think that this goal is realistic, obtainable, and worthwhile. Now, that's an 8% increase in income. But imagine with me for a minute. What if we had an 8% increase or more in those who come in to the church? You know, after Jesus healed the Gadarene demoniac, and you can read about that in Matthew 8, Mark 5, or Luke 8, and I hope you do when you get home and get a chance, that man begged to go with Jesus. But you know, Jesus told him not to, he wouldn't let him go with him. What did he tell him to do? He told him to go into the surrounding area of the Decapolis and tell how and by whom he was healed. And you know what? The next time that Jesus came to that area, more than 4,000 men, along with women and children, came out to hear Jesus' teaching. You can read about that in the feeding of the 4,000. Beloved, tell your friends, tell your neighbors, tell your co-workers, tell your children, or tell whoever you get the opportunity with about Jesus. It may change their life. It may change their eternity. The Lord will provide for his work to be accomplished. How's he do that? Through his people. Now I want to look at a passage in Malachi chapter 3. God is speaking to the nation of Israel in verse 10, and he says, "Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, so that there may be food in my house, and test me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you a blessing until it overflows." Now, Christians are no longer under the Mosaic law. We're not commanded to tithe according to law. But you will remember from our series on the Sermon on the Mount that Jesus raised the standards of righteousness above those that were required by the law. And Matthew 6:21 says, "For where your heart is," or "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Now, we're not advocating a prosperity gospel here, but I am convinced that the Lord will honor our faithfulness. We give financially to the Lord's work, not that we can get something in return. Rather, it's an expression of love because of what Christ has done for us. Beloved, on behalf of the leadership team, I humbly ask that you prayerfully consider the things that we've talked about this morning. I would also ask that you continue to pray for successes that glorify the Lord. We sincerely believe that God has greater things in store for Hillview Christian Church. We believe that this church, this group of people, can be an influence for Christ in the lives of people in this community and beyond. Amen? Amen. And just as Mordecai admonished Esther in chapter 4 of that book, and who knows whether you have not attained royalty for such a time as this.
I'm going to invite our worship team to come up. And as we wrap up our time together today, I want to leave you with just this picture. Some of you saw this. You were here when it happened. But in 2018, Bruce and I and Robin were here one Wednesday. We're working in the office, and Robin comes down and says, "There's a young man here. He'd like to talk to one of the pastors." And so I begin to talk with this young man, and we were here in the sanctuary, and he said, I just would love a little time in your sanctuary to just pray. I just need some time. I just need to pray." And I said, "That's fine. Take as much time as you need." So I went back down to the office and worked for a little bit, came back 15 or 20 minutes later and began to talk to the young man and get to know him a little bit. We had a great conversation, which led to more text and conversation via text and phone calls. A few months later, he actually came to Hillview. And then shortly after that, I got to stand back here in the baptismal waters with him. You see, this is what it's all about. And that day, Clayton Parker got in that baptismal with me. They're all special, but for some reason, when I laid him down in that water and he came up, and this is how he came up. Tears in his eyes, shaking. And under his breath, I could hear him say, "I'm free." That's what it's all about. And as I began to close out the service that day in prayer, I could just feel Clayton shaking and smiling. Newness of life, being born from above. You guys have heard the illustration about the guy walking along the seashore, tossing back in all the starfish that washed up on the shore. And someone says, what are you doing? You can't save them all. What does it matter? He goes, well, it mattered to that one, and it mattered to that one, and it mattered to that one. Each of you matter, and the people around us matter. They matter to Christ, and you all matter to us. We love you. Let us stand and let us worship together. Let us sing. If you have a need today and you would like for us to pray with you, we'd love that opportunity. Maybe you're here today and you have never given your life to Jesus Christ. You have no idea what that even means. We would love to have that conversation with you today. Let us worship with our hearts, with all of our soul, mind, heart, and strength. And let us love our neighbor as ourselves.